All right. Thank you all so much for praying for my dad. I really do appreciate it. And again, he's doing well, responding really well to treatments. Everything that they would want to see, he's responding just great to. And so we're expecting just good things. We know the Lord's going to be good. All right. So Deacon Nate's going to come, and he's going to have the salt and light lesson this morning. I couldn't tell if you were running away at the last moment. I changed his mind. All right. So thank you again, and we'll turn it over here to Deacon Nate.
Okay. It's actually going to be a great privilege to go through this lesson with you. And the reason it's such a great privilege to me is this is one of the lessons that's defined my life. I had a huge impact in my life. I had a pastor. I want to say it was Pastor Tom. It might have been somebody else. I can't remember the face behind the message, but I remember the message. And that is being an ambassador for Christ. So in your workbook, we're on page 107, lesson 13, and we're going to finish off the series today with this idea. What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? Let me give you some quick background, then we'll read the passage here, and then we'll pray. So first of all, before reading the passage, and this passage is going to be in 2 Corinthians 5, you'll have the verse printed in your book there. We'll actually read a couple more verses. Back in verse 18, we're reminded that we are given a ministry of reconciliation. And I just want to take a moment to make sure that we understand what that phrase means. You know, sometimes phrases in the Bible pass us by and we don't stop and catch on to, what does that mean? What does it mean we have a ministry of reconciliation? Well, reconciliation in this case is referring to being reconciled to God. All of us know that, I pray all of us know, that we are separated from God because of our sin. We as in the world. And we Christians are given this ministry, this work, this responsibility of reconciliation, of helping the world be reconciled to God. We have a call to tell others how to be reconciled to God. And then in verse 19, not only were we given a ministry of reconciliation, but God committed to us the word of reconciliation. And if the ministry is the job, the word is the power. The Lord gave us his word, and he gave us the word, Jesus Christ, so that we are equipped to do this job. I mean, how would we reconcile the world to God under our own strength? We couldn't do it. And so the Apostle Paul is just calling out here how great it is that we have this great ministry and we have the power to do it. So let's read here. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians verse 5, starting in verse 19. Second Corinthians 5:19 reads, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right, would you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, again, thank you for this teaching, dear Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to dig into your word, dear Lord. And you know my heart, dear Lord. You know my mind. Right now, I'll be honest, it's hard to sequence all the thoughts. But I am just moving forward in trust that your word will speak powerfully into our lives, dear Lord. And so, dear Lord, as we consider what it means to be your ambassadors, would you just impress these truths onto our lives And dear Lord, might we get a reminder of the truth you impressed on my life years ago of what it means to be your ambassador, dear Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what does it mean to be an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of a king in a foreign country. Now, I love to try to visualize things. It helps me get it. So when I read in the scripture it says I'm an ambassador, I'm thinking Turkey. I'm thinking I'm the ambassador to Turkey, a long, long ways away. Nothing special about Turkey. It's just, I don't know, they send me to be an ambassador somewhere. That's where I figure I'll end up. And so being an ambassador to Turkey means you represent the U.S. government and the U.S. president to the leadership in Turkey. You represent your king in a foreign place because your king can't be everywhere. So you get this great responsibility where the king says, I can't set up house in Turkey to go talk to you whenever I need to. I'm going to send my representative, and he's going to be able to speak for me. And you can talk to him and know that you are talking to me. But it can be a hard call for an ambassador because you have to live in a foreign country, a foreign land. But it's a great, dignified purpose. So, I'm not in Turkey, I'm here in Spokane, but I am Christ's ambassador here, which means I'm in a foreign land. And he's given me an assignment. Forgive me, I'm new at this. I forgot I was supposed to hit this button. So, Roman numeral 1, we're going to talk about the ambassador's access. So, an ambassador often has unique access in the country that they are in. They're in a unique position where they have access both to the people, the foreign land, the foreign leadership they are serving, and their home country leadership. Likewise, we have access to the lost, to the people around us. There are lost day in and day out that we rub shoulders with. And the advantage we have over Christ, let's be careful how we say this, because we know Christ is everywhere, but they can see us. They can hear us with their own ears. And the Lord has chosen to let us be in that position to where we are interacting with the lost. And we also have access to our King. We can speak to our King whenever we want to. We don't have to make an appointment. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to play phone tag. We can just speak to the King, and he is there. Just like a worldly ambassador has priority access to the president. If the worldly ambassador wants to talk to the president, he makes that call and he gets right in as soon as he can because he serves an important position. Any Christian has even greater access to our King, the Lord God Almighty. And we also get the opportunity to speak to the world, to the people in the world, on behalf of God. Have you ever had somebody ask you about God? Because they knew that they have God's word too. They can go open God's word and they can learn from God's word. But often we get the opportunity when they talk to us, when they ask us questions about God, or we get the opportunity to speak into their hurt or their life or whatever the case may be, we get that awesome opportunity to speak into their lives. Just like in the United States, where the president appoints all ambassadors, we have been chosen and appointed by our leader, God, to represent him here. We were given that word of reconciliation, and we now have a ministry of reconciliation. And what is that reconciliation? Why is it a reconciling ministry? Because we've been sent to a foreign country that is at war with God. That's the scary thing, is we're not in a foreign country that is an ally and is good friends and supportive. We're in a country that is at war with God. We're not talking about the United States. We're just talking about the world. And that's why God sent us. John 20:21 reads, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." And God sends us to make peace. John 15:16 reads, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." That was letter A. We have an authorized access. And then letter B, we're going to talk about, we also have an available access. And this available access, again, is just that reminder that we have access to the Lord God Almighty. An ambassador also has privileged access to his leader, his own king or president. At almost any time, the ambassador can request a meeting with his leader. And we know we have that access right to the throne of God, right to the mercy seat. Hebrews 4:15-16 reads, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." And one of the ways this applies to being an ambassador, isn't it true that a lot of times our unsaved friends and family don't want to talk about God until things are very broken, and they want that mediator, so to say, to go between them and God, to go beseech God for them. Now they could speak to God, but again, are we living our lives in such a way that they know that we are radiating God's welcomeness and that they can speak to us? And we will carry those messages and those hurts and those pleads to God on their behalf as well. Along with the access, though, comes also a responsibility. An ambassador has priority access to the president or the king, but also has a responsibility to make use of that access, of that communication channel. Can you imagine an ambassador who decides to just speak on his own with the foreign land and say, "Well, let me tell you, you want me to ask the king whether or not you could do this, and I say yes." Maybe without even talking to the king, I guarantee you that as an ambassador, that will not stay in his position for very long. I may be overplaying this point, but the point is, as ambassadors, it's important that we keep that line of communication while we're in our foreign land with the king who has sent us and tasked us. We don't want to deliver our own messages. We want to deliver God's messages. Roman numeral 2, then, is the ambassador's adversary. So again, we are in a country that is at war with God, and we have an adversary, the devil, who is at war with our ministry and our purpose and our task and our job. As ambassadors for Christ, we have a powerful adversary. The adversary's attack, 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is compared to a roaring lion, and there's lots of illustrations about how scary a roaring lion actually is. I feel like this is one of those illustrations that sometimes goes a little bit by us, because I don't know about you, I look at lions on the TV and I'm like, "Oh, that's cute. I'd like to pet that." I have been walking on the hike, or I've been hiking before, though, and thought back to that time when they said, "Oh, yeah, Last year we saw a bobcat in this area. I'm thinking, whoo, cute cat, but I don't want to see it. The devil is like a roaring lion. And not the cute part of the lion, but the teeth and the claws and the rend you asunder type lion. And he is not interested in the world being reconciled to God. He is not interested in the peace that God offers. His rule is death and sin. And one of our adversary's greatest goals is to cause us fear and prevent us from working our ministry. That out of fear of speaking the word, that we would not speak to those around us, that we would not share the gospel with those around us. And instead adopt an attitude of, hey, I'd like to blend in with these people so I don't stick out so much, so I'm not a target for that roaring lion. But we must stay on task and not get distracted from our purpose. 1 John 2:15 and 16 reads, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world, of the world. If we can be distracted by seeking after the things the world seeks after, then we can get distracted from our greater purpose. So if that's the adversary's attack, the ambassador's defense then, what is our defense against conforming to this world? And we find that in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I always love that part of the verse. I beseech you, therefore, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, God knew when we read this that we were going to look at that and say, ooh, I don't know if I could do that. And I just love he tacked it on. I was like, which is your reasonable service? This is not something crazy I'm asking you to do. Forgive me. But by presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, we cannot be conformed to this world. And that's hard to do. This is now when we're getting into the nut of that message of what it means to be ambassador. Because to be peculiar like that, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, is difficult sometimes. But it's easier when we remember that we are in a foreign land and we are serving a job that has a time to it, but we are not home yet. While we work, we do the job of our employer, which means we surrender our will to his will. And we work after our Lord's desires more than our own desires. And isn't it good that what our Lord desires is so good? Sin is destroying the hearts and minds of this world, but that's not what the Lord does. We won't find our mind and our will and our purpose destroyed when we surrender to him, but rather renewed. 2 Corinthians 10:5 reads, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we read elsewhere just how God will renew our mind and our spirit and our purpose as we dwell with him. So we serve in a foreign land, but we have an assignment. And so that's number three there, the ambassador's assignment. So how do we go about this ministry? We've talked about it, we've mentioned it a few times, we share the gospel. There are other parts to ministering to the world, but primarily what we do is we share the gospel. Matthew 28, 18 reads, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.'" So there's your first comfort. Jesus has all power. The outcome of whatever is going to happen in history, Jesus has the power. Jesus is going to determine who wins and who loses. Verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." So our assignment first is to go, therefore. Because Jesus has all the power, because he's removed all the fear of failure from us, he says, go in his power. Because Jesus has the power to ensure that our adversary doesn't win. We're commanded to go to all nations. Some of us are called to be missionaries, to go to a foreign land as a missionary. Some of us are called to serve God in other areas in our own country. Some of us are called to serve right where we're at. And I would argue with you today, each and every one of us then is missionaries, because each and every one of us, again, is in a foreign land. So we are to go, and letter B, we are to preach. To preach the gospel to every creature. And this is a good reminder. It's no good if we go and we do everything but preach the gospel. If we go and we love people, if we go and we heal the body, if we provide medicines, if we even heal the spirit, if we provide advice, if we improve people's lives, if we give them food, if we serve them sacrificially 100 ways, but we don't give them the gospel, then all is lost. Because we need, the ministry is of reconciliation, and the world needs to be reconciled with God. I'm running out of time here, but I'm going to power through a few of these real quick. 1 Corinthians 15, reading verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." The gospel carries tremendous, tremendous power. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek." So if the duty of an ambassador for Christ could be summed up as followed, compared to our key verse, "I am an ambassador for Christ. He sent me to beseech you to be reconciled to God. This is the message of the gospel and the ministry of Christ's ambassadors." 2 Corinthians 5:18 again, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." The final bullet point is actually the most fun bullet point. This is bullet point 4, and I know it says the ambassador's address. I actually changed that in my book. You can write address down if you want, but I wrote down home, because this is the way it was presented to me. And to me, so you're about to find out just how shallow your deacon is. Now, I know heaven is going to be amazing, because I'm going to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know there's also a mansion up there for me? And you know that actually motivates me sometimes? It's like, oh, I wonder what that mansion's like. I wonder how many rooms it has. I wonder how close it is to Grandma Lorraine's mansion. She has sugar cookies. And my point is, the more we realize how great our home is, the less we're going to worry about how difficult our little, what we'll call it, our little vacation home, our little place of housing here in this foreign land is. We're here for a while. Some of us are here for 100 years. It's a long term of service as we look at things sometimes, but it's a limited term of service. And just, I was trying to think of how to illustrate this, but you know, if I have to go to Turkey to be an ambassador, and they give me a shack over there that has a few basic possessions, and some local breaks in and steals my pot, yeah, that's annoying, but my home is still back at home, and all my treasures, all the things I really value, is still back at home, and it's just less of an issue. And that simple truth often comforts me in trials, just to remember, just to dwell on how great my actual home is. So an ambassador, being ambassadors for Christ, our temporary address is here on earth while we have our work to do. But there will come a time when God will call his ambassadors out of their assignments and back to the home country. Meanwhile, Christ desires our earthly homes to serve as embassies of heaven. That's another great word I love. Is your home an embassy of heaven? Do you have sinners sprinting in the front door and kneeling down and yelling, "Asylum! Give me asylum! I want out of this world! I want away from the adversary. I want away from this sin and death and this pain. I want to be reconciled with God." Is our church an embassy? Because that's what we're here for. So I long for that day. I long for that day when I am, because our permanent address is in heaven. I long for that day to be called home. But I know that I have a job here. And the fact that I know that I have a job here makes me want to do my job well. I can work for a while and then go home. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege and the dignity of being your ambassadors. A lot of times, dear Lord, we are just not qualified to be your ambassadors. We wonder why you didn't send an angel who has never sinned, who has never disobeyed you. And yet, you redeemed us and you send us. Dear Lord, please teach me, please teach every one of us to take that ministry seriously. To work while there's time to work. And dear Lord, we just ask that you would sustain us in this work and teach us each and every day how to lean on your sustainment. And thank you, thank you, thank you that we have been reconciled to you, dear Lord, that the day will come when we will see you face to face, where we will live in your goodness. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.